This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beat me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beat me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beat me up.
Yay, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beat me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beat me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage, prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Happy Target Demo Friday, everybody. Let us know where you're at and how you're listening. We'll read through those coming up here at the end of the show. Where you're at, how you're listening, and you can throw in there what you're doing as you quarantine, and we'll read through those coming up. It's a Target Demo Friday dedicated to hearing about you guys. As always, tweet at me, DA on CBS. That's DA on CBS. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Again, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Coming up this hour in about 20 minutes, your best audio of the day. And in 40 minutes are the Astros brass that got the zig, Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch. Have they found a loophole? That is coming up here on the show this hour on the program as part of your best audio of the day. How about Brian Kelly, coach at Notre Dame, ripping Kirk Herbstreit for his sky is falling projection of the college football season? We'll hear from that coming up here on the show in about 40 minutes from now. But let's start in the NFL this hour with Yannick Ngakoue, who is a very solid pass rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jaguars have reportedly begun fielding calls for the star pass rusher, who has said reportedly that his, quote, time is up because he hasn't been able to come to a long-term contract settlement agreement with the Jaguars. According to ESPN.com, the Jaguars are beginning discussions for the 25-year-old pass rusher by asking for a first and more, a first rounder and more for Yannick Ngakoue. Let's start here. Mraz, what do you think? Is that a fair asking price for a 25-year-old pass rusher like Ngakoue?
It's fair in that you absolutely need to start there. It's not fair in expecting that you will get that. Ngakoue was, or would have been, if they didn't franchise tag him, absolutely the best defensive player available via free agency. So by franchising him, you want to try to get something for him. So I think it is a fair starting point. But we know how negotiations go. So, yeah, fair to ask. I'm not sure it's fair to expect to get.
He's not a household name. He's not a star in this league, but he's a really effective young pass rusher. When you talk about effective young pass rushers, those are of huge value. Now, the New York Giants need pass rush desperately. Dave Gettleman has been a disaster trying to build a defense. Would you trade away a one to try to get Ngakoue if you're a Giant fan?
So I would not, as a Giants fan, and I think that's where this kind of becomes layered, right? Because the Giants have a top five pick. Is Ngakoue worth a top five pick? No, I can't pay a guy and lose my top five pick who could have significant value and be on a rookie wage scale, that to me doesn't offset that. But if I'm picking in the 20s, then maybe that is worth it to me. I think the Giants, this would take them out of it, because asking for a first at 23 is not asking for a first at 4 overall.
That's exactly right. If you are giving away a first-round pick in the 20s for a young pass rusher like Ngakoue, you do have to pay him, so that's part of the cost here. But if you've got the money to do so, you could certainly do worse than that, and giving away a first-rounder in the 20s makes sense. Giving away a first-rounder in the single digits does not make sense, because you can get a guy, obviously, for your roster under the rookie wage scale for the foreseeable future, the next 4 or 5 seasons. So I totally agree with that. But the Jaguars have had success trading away guys and getting good hauls for them. I mean, let's face it, they got 2 ones out of the Rams last year for Jalen Ramsey. 2 number ones for Jalen Ramsey. Now, the Rams trade away and give away money like a drunken sailor, so who knows? I mean, maybe it's just a Rams thing, but the Jaguars have been able to get some resources, assets back when they've had to deal their guys. I mean, even Nick Foles getting traded to the Chicago Bears, they got something for him, and we thought that he had an unmovable contract. My thought here when I saw this story, though, was, are the Jaguars one of the greatest what-ifs in NFL history? If you just go back to the 2017 season, note that this is only 2 years ago, the Jaguars went 10-6 and won the AFC South. That made them a division winner, home playoff game, playing wild card weekend. That was the year the Bills finally broke the drought of getting to the playoffs for the first time since 1999 of the Music City Miracle. They get into the playoffs on that final week 17. Andy Dalton with a big Bengals win. He's now a hero. Gets the Bills backdoored into the playoffs. The Bills go to Jacksonville, and the Jaguars absolutely maul them defensively. They only score 1 touchdown in a 10-3 win. So the Jaguars get a win, go to the divisional round. That's the year. The Patriots are the 1, the Steelers are the 2, and everybody feels it's a crash course for Patriots, Steelers, and the AFC Championship game again. Instead, the Patriots survive and move on, but the Jaguars do the unthinkable. They go to Heinz Field, and not only do they beat the Steelers, they outscore the Steelers. They beat the Steelers 45-42. And remember how crazy that game is, Mraz? To me, when we're looking at these classic games to watch, it would be well worth the watch to go see Blake Bortles and Doug Marrone and a 10-6 Jaguars team outgun a Steelers offense that had all of its weapons and put up 42 points at home, that the Steelers allowed 45 points to Blake Bortles and the Jaguars that day is still, as the 2 seed, unfathomable.
Any NFL expert or insider we had on this week or that week all said the same thing was, well, you know, the Jaguars have a shot if this game's played in the 20s.
Right.
This game gets out of hand, the Steelers score in the 30s, it's over. I remember kind of, you know, scratching my chin the whole game going, okay, Blake Bortles, okay. Maybe this is Blake Bortles' Eli year of 07. Maybe we've underestimated Blake Bortles. He just did this to Pittsburgh? How do you not buy into Blake Bortles?
So Bortles that day has an enormous day. The Jaguars shock the world. They beat the Steelers 45-42, make their way to Foxborough for the AFC Championship game. In that game, they have a lead in the fourth quarter. They are taking the punishment to the Patriots. They are the more physical team. They seem to be the more disciplined team. They are winning on the road in Foxborough. And it appears that Miles Jack picks up a fumble and returns it for a touchdown that I believe would have given the Jaguars a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter on the road in a silent Gillette Stadium. They go to the replay, they reverse the call, they don't give the Jaguars the possession of the touchdown. It really helps the Patriots, and once again, home cooking, Gillette Stadium in the playoffs. Patriots get a huge break. They end up surviving that game. The Jaguars go hugely conservative late in that game. They don't let Blake Bortles throw a pass, remember, until it's too late. They try to soak the clock. It doesn't work. Marrone is killed for being overly conservative. The play calling stunk at the end. Patriots survive. They go to the Super Bowl. They end up losing to Nick Foles and the Eagles. But that was a breath away from the Jaguars making their first Super Bowl ever. And Mraz, at that point in time, how could you not believe, you know what, the Jags have something here. This defense is young, it's ferocious, it's aggressive. Marone was the right head coach, Coughlin's the right GM, Bortles is doing just enough. This team has legs as the next young, fun team because they had all of those high draft picks stacked all across the roster from years of losing.
They felt like they were going to be that next Seahawk team. And it was a matter of, can Blake Bortles now pin off what we saw in Pittsburgh? They went ultra-conservative, but can they let the leash off him, let the reins off him the following season, and let him try to become Russell Wilson? Because with a defense that flew around like that, it felt for sure like the Jaguars had an opportunity. And remember, the next season, very early, I think it's week two, they might have beaten New England.
Smashed the Patriots. Yep, smashed them,
right? I believe that was a Nance Romo game on CBS. And even early in that season, you're thinking, all right, well, the Jaguars are going to be awesome again. Here they come.
That's exactly right. Early that season, week number two, Patriots go down to Jacksonville, and the Jaguars are licking their chops. They want revenge on the AFC title game. They are ready to roll again. They have now paid Blake Bortles the money, and they want the Patriots, and they get them in their house, and they punish them. They absolutely physically dominate that game in 2018, and it appears, you know what? The Jaguars were no fluke. They just pounded the Patriots at home. I believe that put them at 2-0. It felt like, here we go. And yet, from that moment forward, the locker room frays, the season falls apart, Bortles is a disaster, Marone can't keep it together, and then the whole thing just goes to hell in a handbasket. Then we have the fighting with Jalen Ramsey. We have Blake Bortles being just basically ostracized from the locker room. We then have them bring in Nick Foles last year. Foles gets injured week number one. The team, the season is basically lost. And now they've traded away or lost most of that roster. So let me just go through this roster because it's been so dramatic. Once they trade Ngakoue, which they're already engaged in trade talks, maybe they don't get a number one, but here's where I'm going with this. Once they trade away Ngakoue, he was the second leading sack artist on that 2017 Jaguars team. He had 12.5 sacks that year behind only Calais Campbell's 14.5 sacks. That defense was absolutely filthy. Number one, leading rusher, Leonard Fournette, that year more than 1,000 yards. Mraz, is Leonard Fournette the bell cow anymore for the Jaguars? Do they believe that he is the answer long-term?
No, and he got hurt week one the very following year. I believe it was a foot injury and basically didn't come back until November, and he has not been the same player whatsoever. Not enough of a threat in the passing game, which you need to be in the NFL. And Leonard Fournette, it just shows you again the risk with running backs in the first round. One injury to the wrong part of the body, and you're never the same player again.
Number two, Blake Bortles. Of course, he gone, and who knows if he's ever a starter again. But he's gone, and they've now cycled through two different quarterbacks since then, Gardner Minshew and Nick Foles. It'll be Minshew's team this year. Number three, the wide receivers on that team. They weren't great, but they were effective enough. Marquise Lee, Keelan Cole, Allen Hurns. Again, bunch of guys, bunch of names that aren't even there anymore.
Right. And you know, that isn't that funny how we just made excuses, or people made excuses, for Tom Brady not having the weapons? Well, that's why he didn't succeed. Isn't it funny how there's no excuse made for Blake Bortles when those are his weapons?
Right. Also, who was the backup running back to Leonard Fournette? A good 1-2 punch. Remember, TJ Yeldon was there at running back. Yeldon's gone. That's He's right. Now a member of the Bills.
That's right. TJ Yeldon, who, again, a lot of people questioned why they took Leonard Fournette when Yeldon, I believe, was a second-round pick by them the year before or something like that. And it just felt like, wow, that's heavy investment in running backs with assets.
The other running back, Chris Ivory, he left the next season. He's not even in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, I think concussion concerns got to Ivory, but that's a pretty good three-headed monster.
It was. It was. And look at how dramatically that has changed. Let's go to the defense. Calais Campbell, everybody said he was the difference maker being part of that Jaguars team. He was the veteran presence they needed. Calais Campbell is now a member of the Ravens.
Yeah, it shocks me that Calais Campbell's still in the league. It feels like he's been in the league for 18 years. I mean, he was a big part of those Cardinal good teams.
Who were maybe three of the most important defensive players on that team? Number one, it was Calais Campbell. Number two, Jalen Ramsey's a shutdown corner. Number three, Ngakoue. All three of those guys are either gone or going to be gone by the end of this offseason. It is just piece by piece totally disassembling a team that was within a drive or a good referee call from being in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
And piece by piece it gets disassembled, and yet Doug Marrone stays and survives.
That's right. Also, Malik Jackson, he was a big part of that team. He's now a member of the Eagles.
Denver, right.
Also, you had on that team A.J. Bouye. Okay, he's not on the team anymore. You also had Dante Fowler, who was kind of already a bit of a bust, but he had 8 sacks that season. He's a member of the Rams. I mean, they've completely 100% disassembled everything that made that Jaguars team a great team. Does it not feel like they'll never, ever be back to what it was? At least, I mean, if they get back, it'll be a completely different roster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there'll be nobody there. And I'm not buying into Gardner Minshew as well. I think their next best quarterback is not on the roster right now. But the sad part is, as crazy as an AFC title game that was, as crazy as the game was with the Steelers, doesn't it kind of feel like 5 years from now, we're going to run down the Patriot dynasty and forget that that was one of their AFC title games? It kind of feels like this Jaguar team, not forget just being a what-if, it also just be forgotten, despite the fact that they had a couple classic games in there.
Exactly, because it was basically a one-off. They were a 3 or 4 or 5-win team for a decade. They had this one great season. They go all the way to the AFC Championship game. They're within a breath of the Super Bowl, and then they fall into mediocrity again. So, I mean, Telvin Smith was the leading tackler on that team. He's not even on the team anymore. He didn't even play football last year. So, I mean, it's just crazy that they went from that close, the penthouse to the outhouse, that dramatically. And I just think that the Jaguars will forever be an unbelievable what-if in NFL history, because clearly by the end of it, Coughlin had run its course. I don't really know if I can buy on Doug Marrone these days. Blake Bortles obviously was fool's gold. And all of that defense has been disassembled. I mean, it's kind of a sad deal. Jaguars fans who have waited so long for a winner and dealt with such crap and dog food football seasons finally got a winner. And that was 2017. By 2018, it's already in the tank. And last season, again, they're back to being crap.
And let's face it, a division, too, they play in that. All it takes is somebody to have a good 3, 4, 5-year run to control that division. That division is up for the taking every single year.
Exactly. I know. I just think that that Jaguars team was poised to be one of the fun, exciting, young, hungry teams, like you said, like the Seahawks. And they never got there. They were there for one blip, one moment in time that I think is going to be largely forgotten, unfortunately. And just think of how different this is. I mean, if the ref doesn't blow the whistle and calls it correctly in the Miles Jack fumble recovery, it's likely that the Jaguars are in the Super Bowl. And how weird would an Eagles-Jags Super Bowl be? But it could have been. And don't tell me the Jaguars couldn't have won that game, because the Patriots' defense was what lost that game. I mean, Brady threw for 500 yards and they still lost because the Eagles were amazing offensively. Foles was amazing. I don't think Foles was going to do that against that Jaguars defense.
And how differently two men's lives could have been changed had the Jaguars made the Super Bowl, maybe had a big defensive effort. Nick Foles and Blake Bortles. There's no statue outside of Lincoln Financial Field if the Jaguars defense stifles Nick Foles. And Blake Bortles, look, Blake Bortles is probably still a starting quarterback in the NFL, even if the defense won him the game, if he had won a Super Bowl two, 3 years ago.
2017, the 2017 season, and basically the Jaguars are a completely different roster. That's how quickly it changed for the Jags, one of the great what-ifs ever, and Ngakoue likely to be traded this offseason as well. When we come back, your best audio of the day, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly criticizing Kirk Herbstreit's doomsday thoughts on college football this season. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that?
I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Tell your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio when you wake up in the morning, and you can wake up and get ready for your day with us. We're on 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time right here on CBS Sports Radio, 3 until 7 Pacific. And wake up, tell your smart speaker to play us, and get ready to roll for the day of quarantining right here with us aboard the mothership, which is a pretty nice metaphor because we're inside a spaceship trapped somewhere in the universe, so kind of fits. Today, our Target Demo Friday meme is a picture of Mraz crushing some type of sandwich at his home studio, and he's unshaven and looking very gnarly and grizzled. I wonder, Mraz, as the Kaiser of calories, why do you really want to play up how gnarly and disheveled you look these days?
I think I'm just going with a non-shaven look just to add a unity, to know that we're all home, we're all being unkept, and I want everybody to know I'm in this with them.
So you want everybody to see just how disheveled you really are on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think that's a good role to play here. I think it's a, oh man, Mraz is really looking a mess. I think that's something that you should embrace here. Because I think you look around the meme culture right now, everybody's in pajamas and not shaving and everything, and I want to let America know I'm with you.
I'm not in pajamas, and I'm shaving.
You're right. I would say you're the anomaly.
Thanks. Huh?
Anomaly. You're the anomaly compared to the rest of the country.
The anomaly?
What is it? What's the word?
What's the word?
I'm saying, what is the word? What am I looking for?
What's
anonymity?
The word? What?
Didn't we do this bit already? Anonymity? Anomaly? What is it?
Anomaly?
You're when you're different from everybody else, you're the outlier. Wait, what? How do you say it?
Anomaly.
Anomaly. You're the anomaly right now. I think most of America is wearing, you know, charcoal face masks, cleaning out their pores, growing beards, wearing sweatpants. I would gather jeans have not been worn by many for a long time. You in the nice button-down, cleanly shaven, gel in your hair, I think it's fair to say, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's a nice thing to do is to keep dressing up. I think you're an anomaly to the rest of America right now. How do you say the word?
It's a nice thing to do. Like I'm helping an old woman across the street.
Well, because people probably should strive for some normalcy now to dress regularly, get ready like you normally would. I think that's probably pretty good for mental health. But let's face it, there's most of America is slobs. We pointed out time and time again. And here I am being a slob. And I should also, now that the forum is here, DA, we should also say, I think I've been pretty productive as a producer recently. Have I not?
Here we go.
Well,
have I?
You know, I really wish you wouldn't have done this because I was really planning when we had Jerry McNamara on the show a little bit later on to really give you some major applause because I think that the guests for March Madness, the Madness of March series that we've been doing have been really phenomenal. I thought that you were putting in some major work. You were getting creative. You were having to pull a lot of strings. And I was so ready to give you credit because you weren't looking for it. And I was like, you know what? The best part about this is Mraz did not need a pat on the back this week. And an hour and a half before it, and you're looking for the pat on the back.
You're misreading. I might have blown that up, but you're misreading my point here. The point I'm going to try to make to you is after everything we've discussed on the show year after year, I have done all the work and hard work I've put in has been done in sweatpants, which only further defends what I was saying to you, that I would be more productive if I could show up to work every day in sweatpants. And every day I have worked in sweatpants, and damn it, I'm doing a good job.
So the picture that you posted was of a very meaty sandwich, and
yes,
you have some sandwich regrets on it?
I do have some sandwich regrets, so I think I went a little overboard. I had bought 2 pounds of cold cuts and a pound of cheese a week ago today, and I am completely out. And I think I have been, because I don't know about you guys, but I have nicknamed parts of my house certain names as if I'm leaving. yes, Sean's Deli is upstairs. That's my kitchen. And Sean's Deli likes to look. You get a lot of bang for your buck on the sandwiches. There's a lot of extra meat there. That's a place you want to come back to every day. You know, for your dollar, you're getting meaty sandwiches. The problem is, Sean's Deli is a big sign outside the door that says we are out of meat today. So I probably, the guy running the deli, which also is me, probably should have been going a little lighter on the meat for cost efficiency, because I have no cold cuts left to make a sandwich for lunch today.
What are some other names of places in your house right now?
The A. Meraz Theater. It's downstairs. That's our movie theater. I have my 70-inch TV with my surround sound. That is where we've been watching movies. 365 Hudson, because we're usually 345 Hudson, is where we go to work. That's where I'm set up in my air hockey table right now. And the Holiday Inn, it's just, that's the name. That is my bedroom right now. And I've called it Cabin Fever. It's my version of a log cabin. It's my guest room. When I want to feel like I'm getting away, I sleep in my guest room. These are all things I had. And the patio lounge in the back, I have some outdoor couches. That is a bar when weather permits. I like to sit outside and enjoy some cocktails around a fire. So this is what I've done. I'm sure I'm not alone, but I have nicknamed parts of my house just so I don't feel like I'm home. I will tell my wife, I'm going to Sean's Deli. Can I grab you anything? I'm going to the patio lounge if you want to meet me for a drink at 5. And these are things I'm doing.
Oh, my goodness. That is brilliant. That is really brilliant. I absolutely love that. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Soundcheck brought to you by Sean's Deli, where they're out of meat today. Let's start with Terrell Lewis, linebacker for the Alabama Crimson Tide, who joined T yesterday and discussed the health of his former teammate at quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa.
He looked really smooth to me. I know talking to him, he was telling me at the combine the last time I saw him that he felt really good and was getting back acclimated, throwing the ball and stuff like that on the quiet. But when he dropped those videos, I was like, he damn near looked like himself again.
Well, again, it's the videos. It's the videos everybody loves. It's the videos everybody is drooling over. And I just can't get too confident on a bunch of 9-second videos. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa is not getting hit. He's throwing one pass. Okay, he looks fluid in a 3 to 5 step drop. How's he going to look once he gets tackled on the hip? How's he going to look for 30 to 40 snaps? How's he going to look for 60 to 70 snaps in a game? How's he going to look when he throws 30 passes? I mean, okay, the videos are nice for like 9 seconds. That's not where football games are played. You need a little bit more than 9 seconds to me to feel confident on Tua Tagovailoa's fluidity, his agility right now after the hip injury. Here is Jeff Green, member of the Houston Rockets, who joined Zach Gelb last night here on CBS Sports Radio. And Jeff Green talking about the Rockets' prospects of winning an NBA championship this year.
We have a lot of veterans who want to, you know, win a ring. And we have the opportunity to do that with the personnel that, you know, Daryl Morey, Coach D'Antoni is, you know, putting in that locker room. The small ball has been working great for us. And, you know, I think in our minds, we have what it takes to, you know, hold up the trophy whenever that may be at this point.
I really hope they get the playoffs in. As I said before, I don't care if it's 3-game series. I just want to see the playoffs. I want to see finality. I want to see a conclusion. I want to see a champion. In 1999, Tim Duncan gets his first championship ever in a lockout shortened season of just 50-plus regular season games. But we don't say that 99 banner doesn't count. So I really hope that they do get a champion crowned. And the Rockets, when they were playing during the regular season, felt to be one of the great what happens now X factors if they got into the playoffs, because they had the talent to rattle off so many wins in a row, but also seemed to always have the Rockets, yeah, but what happened there type of noose hanging around their neck, which the Rockets have kind of always had, especially when you're led by James Harden, who has never been able to push his team singularly over the top. He was a sixth man on an NBA Finals team at Oklahoma City, but never as the star. I can't wait to see when they finally do get back what the Rockets do look like. And finally, here is Brian Kelly. Okay, he was on 96.1 WSBT. And you might remember a little over a week ago, maybe more, Kirk Herbstreit had a doomsday scenario for college football, saying he doesn't see how college football plays this year. Here is Notre Dame's head coach ripping Herbstreit.
Now, I heard Kirk Herbstreit come out last week and say, no way. I mean, Kirk does not know what he's talking about. I mean, really, you know, for him to, you know, talk in those terms, he's not a scientist. He's a college football analyst. So we'll let the scientists determine those things.
I would tend to agree that we'll let scientists deal with those things. I don't think Kirk Herbstreit's dealing with those things. But what I do think you have is people within college football who are very sensitive to the idea that they might not have a season. And Brian Kelly makes a lot of money to coach in a football season. And if that season doesn't happen, what happens to that salary? All of us are feeling that pinch these days across America. So many millions are out of work. So many millions more are being asked to take a pay cut or be furloughed, etc. And it's a really scary situation. And I think for college football executives, ones that make millions of dollars from doing what they do, they are terrified of the prospect of not having a season. So they don't want to go there yet, and they don't want to sound the alarms. And I think Brian Kelly's always a guy that it's hard to kind of truly be behind because his tact is always terrible. But I also tend to agree with Brian Kelly. Look, I think there's a middle ground here. Jeff Pasch of the NFL says, we're planning to have fans in the stadium week one of the NFL season. And Kirk Herbstreit saying, I can't see how we play a college football year. There's got to be an in-between where there's optimism, that there's time for us to have normalcy in the fall. But there's also, you can't just go ahead and say it's definitely going to be normal because we don't know, because every day has been different. Every day the track has been different. Every day our reality has been different since the coronavirus has hit the country. That's your sound check. Our family of networks still brings you sports on TV. Saturday at 1:30 Eastern Time, 10:30 Pacific, CBS brings you the inaugural World Team Tennis Celebrity All-Star Match. Again, I'm guessing this is taped, as some of the sport's biggest names serve up some of the best action from the court. Standing by with our headlines is our good friend and kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Bogues, good morning. How we doing?
DA, you will not believe it, but Tua Tagovailoa's camp says Tua Tagovailoa's latest medical check was, quote, overwhelmingly positive. You'll
Shocking.
Allow me to be a little skeptical that they are saying Shocking. It was perfect, right?
Yeah.
Tua let a doctor picked by NFL team physicians re-examine him in lieu of face-to-face meetings with teams. All 32 clubs now have the results. So at some point on April 23rd, a team will draft Tua. Eyebrows were raised earlier this week when the Saints announced they'd run their draft at a local brewery. Obviously,
Love
the
that.
Brewery wouldn't be full of patrons, but big gatherings are still frowned upon. So some clarity yesterday from the NFL. Two scenarios for hosting your draft are in play. At your facility or another space, like a brewery, if it doesn't violate any local restrictions.
Okay.
Or team personnel work from their homes. If the league chooses option B, it applies to everybody, regardless of what's allowed in your particular city. So again, you know, with the way I read that, knowing where we're sitting here in New York with the Jets and the Giants, they can't be at their team facility. I believe they can't then rent out a restaurant somewhere in New Jersey. I feel like option B is the only option right now, that these guys are going to be at home on a laptop, somehow putting in their picks from there.
Yes, exactly right.
From now.
Basically, all of these NFL executives are setting up their own home offices and home war rooms the same way the rest of us are. If you are working from home and you had to clear out the hamper, clear out the old books, you had some boxes of stuff on top of a desk, and now you suddenly had to move that to the attic or the basement or the garage, that's what these NFL GMs are doing. They are going to be picking their teams from their Barca loungers, from their Lazy Boys, in their office, which is amazing. Did you see the story of Andy Reid yesterday? Reid is game planning. He is doing game planning from his basement. And I just love this image. He said he was on his wife's antique table that he was using. Don't you just imagine, Bogues, that Andy Reid absolutely has a singing Billy Bass on the wall? I mean, he has
to.
Oh,
no doubt.
Andy Reid's, his basement has to have Billy Bass. It also immediately comes to mind, it has to have an oversized gumball machine, right? Doesn't Andy Reid either have a gumball machine that's oversized or the little one on his desk that he just has a gumball like every 2 hours, right? Doesn't that just feel right?
It does. So there's a dartboard down there.
Totally.
And I feel like he's definitely a guy that has also, like Sean, named the various quarters of his house, including a deli. And my guess would be that Andy Reid has a store-level slicer.
Yes.
He just buys a honk of ham and cuts his own sandwiches. He's not buying it a pound at a time from ShopRite.
That's a really good point. Now, Mraz, being one of the children of the deli empire from Bob the Deli Man, right. Are commercial deli slicers available to the public at large?
I believe you can order them online, but as my father always said, never bring your work home with you, son. So
okay.
We never had a deli slicer in the house.
That's amazing.
You can bring it home. I'm just going to slice it at work.
Right, exactly.
I love that Bob's Bar now has a sister deli called Sean's Deli.
Sean's Deli. Look, we're really branching out here. This is going to be a whole enterprise up and running by the time the quarantine is over.
Bogues, have you named any room in your house?
No, my mental ability has stayed strong so far, so I have not named quarters of my house.
Just wait another month.
I'm going to do this, though. I'm excited about this. I'm going to go through naming rights and bid on it with the Bourbon Bell this weekend. We're going to have some bidding rights on the different names for rooms. I really like this idea by Mraz. I think you stumbled upon something.
Look, and I know it's very funny, and part of it is funny, but I really think there's a mental aspect to this that if you could turn your house into your own version of a mini mole, it kind of helps you feel like you're getting out a little bit.
Back to football. Running back Derrick Henry has signed his $10.2 million franchise tag tender in Tennessee, but a long-term deal is still possible. GM John Robinson said it optimistic 2 days ago.
I know that he wants to be a part of this football team. I thought it was good that they communicated back that he does want to be here and he wants to keep working on this.
Any
thing.
Player that received the franchise tag can negotiate a long-term deal until July 15th. The Raiders recovering quickly from losing out on corner Eli Apple, signing former Packers safety Demarius Randall. We're still not sure why that Raiders one-year, $6 million agreement with Apple fell apart, but maybe they finally read Sean's book report about Apple's time with the Giants.
And they also met his mom. They're like, oh, whoa. Yeah, no contract.
The Chiefs have reportedly restructured wideout Sammy Watkins' deal for this coming season, creating $5 million cap space. And the Lions are signing former Jets corner Darrell Roberts. He is also a former Patriot, making the fourth one of them to reunite with Matt Patricia this offseason. Right. The others are safety Daron Harmon, linebacker Jamie Collins, and D lineman Danny Shelton. Rams COO Kevin Demoff said yesterday that there's the possibility, although it's small, that SoFi Stadium is not ready for week one. Work continues, but not at the usual pace, obviously. The first event remains a July 25th Taylor Swift concert, but that is certainly far more unlikely than a week one NFL game
isn't
in
that
September.
Great? You know, in the United States, doesn't matter how many billions of dollars you have, your project still won't get done on time. It does not matter if you are Cronky Walmart fortune. It doesn't matter if you've bought the land and will pay for every screw yourself. It still ain't getting done on time, no matter what. You could own the Los Angeles Rams, be building a brilliant new state-of-the-art facility in one of the biggest media markets in the world. Still doesn't mean it's getting done on time. You could just imagine Kroenke's like, come on, I bought everything 5 years ago. You still can't get this done?
I just feel bad for the Peter Schwartz of the L.A. media market that are not getting their chance to get, you know, those fun ceremonial hard hats and get the tour and then be there when they unveil all the food options as well. All that stuff is off the table right now as well.
Well, it's a good thing, though, because the Peter Schwartz of Los Angeles would break an ankle as he put his foot into the shovel.
Former MLB All-Star Jim Edmonds says he is healthy now but had coronavirus and pneumonia, requiring a brief hospitalization. And Dayton's Anthony Grant, South Carolina's Dawn Staley, named the Naismith National College Basketball Coaches of the Year, Player of the Year awards handed out at noon Eastern today. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, we know that Jeff Luhnow, the GM of the Astros, and A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros, got a one-year ban. But is there a very serious loophole in this one-year ban? We'll discuss coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Funky and funny, the galaxy's best combination.
Do a chocolate syrup, some kind of marshmallow with crunched up graham cracker. Graham cracker?
Graham crapper?
Graham cracker!
Well, that adds a new element.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com, that's easy. It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks for being with us. Damon Amendolara, DA with you every single morning here on CBS Sports Radio. And a little reminder that the DA show is available on YouTube as well this week. And if you want to binge watch the DA, you can do so. The best clips, the best takes, the best interviews, and the classic moments all available. All the 12 DAs as well over the last couple of years available on YouTube. Just search CBS Sports Radio. There is a real loophole here for the Astros that got pinched in the cheating scandal. Of course, we know that the players themselves were not reprimanded nor punished. But Jeff Luhnow, who was the GM, and A.J. Hinch, who was the manager, are both suspended for the season. And that seemed like a significant punishment when it happened, when it was handed down back in January. However, what we learn now is, let's say you are found guilty of domestic violence and you have an 80-game suspension. If there's no games played this year, you still get suspended 80 games next year for the baseball season. Just because the games aren't played doesn't mean you've served your suspension. It's games played that you are suspended by. So if there's no baseball season, if you're suspended for taking steroids, substance abuse, domestic violence, some type of other violation, you have to wait until next year to serve your games. Luhnow and Hinch don't. They were only suspended for the calendar year by baseball. In fact, it was less. They were suspended in the winter until after the 2020 World Series is played. What a kick in the pants that is. That Luhnow and Hinch, who were the heads of the most cheating organization in baseball, might not even have to serve one game suspension. They will have served a quote-unquote year-long suspension, but if there's no games played, what type of suspension is that? They can't be hired anyway within this league. There's no games. There's no teams right now. There's no nothing going on right now. What a loophole. You see, I don't know if Manfred did this. He couldn't have seen the coronavirus doing what it's doing. But I don't know if Manfred has always done this for executives because of maybe a potential labor stoppage or something like that, where you could have games being stopped. But this is ridiculous. It should be the same suspension. Okay, even if Manfred couldn't have seen this coming, maybe it was just inadvertent, change it right now. You're the commissioner. You handed down the punishment. You should say, you know what? Unforeseen circumstances. Hinch and Luhnow are suspended for 162 baseball games. Okay? 162 and then a postseason. So that if there's no games played, or let's just say hypothetically there's 50 games played this year and then a postseason, they get to come back after what should have been a 162 in the postseason. These guys were at the heads of the most cheating organization in baseball, and they are in the ultimate loophole. Nobody's working right now. So them not working, what's the big deal? I am bothered to no end about this, Mraz. I am bothered to no end. This should be changed right now by Manfred.
And don't overlook the fact that Rob Manfred was a lawyer, so he should know everything there is about proper wording and everything that comes with that. So for him to word the way he worded the suspensions and allow for this loophole, to me, is the ultimate travesty. This is the one thing, if you're coming from a lawyer background, you should get right.
This, to me, you're exactly right. From a legal standpoint, how'd you not see this thing coming? And how can you have two different suspensions? For the players, it's games. For the executives, it's a date. Okay, well then let the players come back after their suspensions by a date. Once you hand it down, here's the date that you would come back. I just think, come on. These guys might not even worry about losing a season this year because there might not be a season played when we come back. In the AFC East, are the Bills the new favorites? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.